Hi, this is Tim Wright from St John's Church in Birkdale, and this is the talk for Trinity Sunday, the 4th of June 2023. And today's talk was written and delivered by Reverend Roy Doran, and this is Tim reading it on behalf of Roy. And today, as I've said, is Trinity Sunday, and the title of today's talk is There Is Only One God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. So one of the most important services within the Christian calendar is Trinity Sunday. However, if you've been reading the Bible recently, or even reading it in the past, you will know that we don't actually see the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible. So how then are we to understand it? Well, the doctrine of the Trinity teaches us that God exists eternally as three distinct persons, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And yet they are all one in essence. Each person of the Trinity is fully God, but they are one in being. This is a mystery that in our finite human understanding and our finite human minds, we can't easily or fully grasp. But then that's okay, because one day when we meet God face to face, then we will be able to grasp it, because we'll be able to see it and understand it fully in his presence. There have been many attempts to try and simplify our understanding of the Trinity. One of the favourite ones, which some people have preached about, is the fact that you've got water, steam and ice. They're all different forms of H2O. But I'm afraid we have to accept the reality that we do God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit a real injustice when we compare the Trinity to things such as water, steam and ice, even if we're doing it with the best intentions. Our limited understanding is down to the fact that we're humans, but we really need to get into reading God's word and understanding the works of God through the Trinity. The scriptures are there to help us so that we can have a better knowledge of this fundamental truth. And what we're going to do now is just look at a reading from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, where we'll read something about the Holy Trinity at work. So 1 John 5, 1 to 12. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it's the Spirit that testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it's the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Well, the author of this epistle is John, and it's generally agreed that it was the same John who wrote the Gospel at around AD 90. And it was at that time when false teachings had begun to enter the church, and he wanted to put people straight as to what was the truth, so that those people who were battling against such heretics would hold on to the basic truths and facts which actually show the Holy Trinity in action. Verse 4 reads, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." So this passage, this couple of verses here, relate very clearly to the Gospel of John 3:16, which we're all familiar with. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Here is God the Father giving of himself in and through his Son in order that mankind, who had walked away through acts of disobedience as we see in Genesis, so that they would be able to be restored, saved and live in the kingdom of heaven where sin has no place. Well, who else can forgive sin but God? There are many passages where Jesus, who is God, forgives people's sins. Mark's Gospel chapter 2 is one where Jesus was preaching and some men brought a paralytic and they couldn't get close to Jesus. So they made a hole in the roof and lowered the man through the hole. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Get up, take your mat and walk." Further on in the same chapter, Jesus was having a meal with the sinners and tax collectors when he was challenged by some of the religious leaders as to why he would do this. Jesus replied, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but for sinners." Here is the Son of God using his divine power and authority, bringing healing and forgiveness to a fallen world, which we're all part of. Without God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit using their collective purposes, you and I, along with the rest of the world, would have no hope of salvation and no hope of a final resting place in heaven. Here, the Godhead working together in absolute harmony and absolute essence in a divine way as one God, yet in three slightly different ways. It will be just as the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit working together through creation originally intended. If we look a little bit further in Genesis to Genesis 1 towards verse 26, we read of the Godhead working together. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." Note, not in my image or his image, not in singular language, but in plural, more than one person. "Let us make man in our image," e.g. Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Again, in Scripture, in Matthew's Gospel, we can read of Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. And at that very moment, heaven was opened and John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on Jesus. And hearing the voice of God loud and clear saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." This was all done before Jesus went out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And yet he stands firm against all the evil temptations which came his way. And why do you think he did this? So that we, in all our humanness, can have some chance of resisting the temptations which will come our way. This can only be God's divine power at work through the Trinity. There are many more passages we can read in the Scriptures which talk about the interaction of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. So why have I spent time this morning explaining the importance of the Trinity? Well, of course, it's because it's Trinity Sunday, so it's a good time to remind ourselves of the truth. But I've also shared this with you because even today, just like in the time of John, the author of the reading that we've used, there are so many cults which are teaching their own elements of the truth as they see it. And they say quite categorically that in their reading of the Scriptures, they do not believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. You can go and stand on Lord Street in Southport most days and see them plying their distortions, and people are being taken in by what they are telling them. The very reason that we chose the reading from 1 John for us to look at today is because the false teaching that was going around concerning the triune work of the Godhead back in Bible times is the same false teaching which we see today. People who know only a little about the Bible can very easily be taken in by it. And if they had a bad experience of church life, either through false teaching or not liking the challenges that Scripture dishes out, then they will accept what some might say, because it's easier to take it in and find it comforting. The Bible often makes us uncomfortable, and this is down to our gracious God continuing to transform our lives into God-fearing people. The devil is not happy, so he focuses his ploys in the lives of people who don't know the truth, and as a consequence are more likely to be manipulated. Therefore, it's vital that we know and learn from the scriptures. It's the only way to detect error, and that is to know the truth, because it is the truth that will set us free. And in being set free from all the temptations and ploys which will come our way. People of the truth stand strong in the saving blood of Christ, the Son of God, empowered by the same Holy Spirit who, along with the Father, created the heavens and the earth. Surrender all your ways to Jesus the Son and rejoice in the glories of heaven, which will be your final destiny, just as God decided at the beginning of time. Amen.